Well, hello, Calvary Chapel, Okinawa. Good morning. All right, there you are. Good to be here. My name is Alex. I am so thankful for this opportunity to share with you today. There are many faces I recognize, but there are still many that I don't know. And so even though Don did just introduce me, if you will bear with me, I'd like to share a little bit more about myself. I am married to my beautiful wife, Jess, and we have four kids together, Elliot, Jane, Jamie, and Matthew. I was born and raised here in Okinawa. I left for college, and then 8 years later, I came back to Okinawa. And I came back to join the church staff here at Calvary Chapel, Okinawa, all the way back in 2015. I think Mariko-san was the only staff member that was here. I'm still here from back then. I served under Pastor Rick for 6 years, and it's so good. I'm so thankful for my time under Pastor Rick. And in those years, I got to serve alongside just all the great people you know and love here at CCO, like Josh and Josh and Josh and Josh. A lot of Joshes here. I'm just joshing. Hey, in those 6 years, you know, I really did learn everything that I know about ministry. I used to be the announcements guy on Sunday mornings, and I would fumble over those announcements so many times in those early days. I'd get so nervous. My hands would get nice and clammy. Those are some good times. But yeah, again, I'm so thankful for my time at CCO because I think I did gain a genuine love for the ministry of the gospel that I never had before. You know, never in my wildest dreams did I ever think that I would become a pastor. And yet, by God's grace, Pastor Rick ordained me in June of 2021. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about how God has chosen the foolish ones of the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. But the reason God chooses the foolish things and the weak things is so that he can receive the glory, right? It keeps me from stealing glory from the Lord. In September of 2021, that same year that I got ordained, three months after I got ordained, right in the midst of those dark COVID days, if you remember, we planted a church in Kadena Town. And the whole story of how our church got started, how we got planted, is nothing short of a miracle. All glory to God. Just like Don said, God gave us everything that we needed. He orchestrated everything. He opened all the doors that needed to open. And I just got to just come along for the ride. And by his grace, you know, 2.5 years later, we're still going strong. So I get to serve the church as a pastor, and I really am blessed by God's favor on us. Our church's name is Kadena Fellowship Church, a.k.a. Kadena FC, a.k.a. KFC. And, you know, some people ask, hey, why didn't you name it Calvary Kadena? And I simply reply, it's Pastor Rick's fault. Because Pastor Rick is the one who actually gave us our name. Now, I can't remember if it was in a meeting or if it was in a sermon, but, you know, Pastor Rick, right, he likes to joke around. And he joked that we should name the church KFC, Kadena Fellowship Church. And, you know, being the serious man that I am, I took him seriously and we named the church KFC, Kadena Fellowship Church. Anyways, I'm super blessed to be here. Thank you for having me. We're in the year 2024. One thing I'm looking forward to, amongst many other things like the election, just kidding, is the Olympics. You know, who else is excited for the Olympics this year? Oh, okay. First service, they didn't like the Olympics, I guess. No one really raised their hands. You know, when I realized that the Summer Olympics was this year, I was like, man, already? But then I remembered, right, the Tokyo 2020 Olympics was held in 2021, so we've only had to wait like 3 years for the Olympics this time. And this year, the Summer Olympics will be held in the capital city of France, in Paris. And I'm excited for the Olympics. It's going to be 45 different sports, 329 events within those sports. We got 10,500 athletes competing in the events like high jump and soccer and judo and 3v3 basketball. 3v3 basketball, when did that become an actual Olympic event? And people only play 3v3 when there's not enough people to play real ball. But before you know it, they'll have arm wrestling and thumb wrestling in addition to Greco and freestyle wrestling. Anyways, oh, they're also adding breakdancing this year. Have you heard that? Breakdancing for the Olympics. I just wonder when they'll add esports, you know, all the gamers in front of their screens. But I really do love the Olympics. You know, I love the opening ceremony, right, when all the athletes come in into the stadium, they're holding their flags, they're walking, they're representing their nation with pride, and all the different events, right, from track and field to the combat sports. I think it's just so inspiring, right, watching all of these athletes who have dedicated their whole life for this moment. Think about the discipline, right, and the determination that they represent. From a young age, they've been training hard to become the absolute best in the world. If you win the 100-meter dash in the Olympics, you're the fastest person in the world. And I love seeing people just giving it everything they've got for that prize, whether they win or they lose. In today's study, we see Paul call the Philippians to press on in their faith, to press toward the goal for the greatest prize that we can attain. So if you have your Bibles with you, will you please turn to Philippians 3? We're going to be in Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Three rich verses. If you need to borrow a Bible, please raise your hand and an usher will bring one to you. Oh, we got a few. A couple more right here to my left. Is that stage right? I don't know. I'm not a theater guy. All right, will you please stand with me in honor of God's word? We're in Philippians chapter 3. Please follow along as I read aloud. All right, Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. Paul writes, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is true. I pray that you would speak to us through your word today. Help us to have ears to hear. Lord, soften our hearts, Lord, to receive from you. Give us understanding. And Lord, may you be glorified as we study your word today. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, in Philippians 3:12, Paul says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected." Well, Paul's in mid-thought here, so we want to look back and look at the context to fully understand what Paul is talking about. You know, if you're a student of the word, you might know what was said previous to today's text in chapter 3. If you look back in this chapter, you'll see how Paul warned the Philippians about certain people who promoted a fake gospel. And Paul had great disdain for these false teachers. He called them dogs and evildoers, those who mutilate the flesh. You see, these people taught that Jesus was insufficient to grant salvation, that Jesus wasn't enough to save us. But we're saying today, right? Christ is enough for me. That the blood of Jesus, that the blood that Jesus shed was not enough to cleanse us from our sins, right? That his sacrifice was not enough to secure our eternity in heaven. These false teachers taught that Christians needed to observe the law in order to be saved, right? They wouldn't outright deny Jesus, right? They might say, yes, of course, Jesus is good. Of course, yes, you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to follow the law. Or you can't eat this, you can eat that. Or you can't do this if you want to be saved. You have to be circumcised if you want to be saved. Essentially, they were saying that you have to practice Judaism on top of believing in Jesus if you really want to be saved. Right? They relied on the works of the flesh for salvation. It was a works-based salvation. But a works-based salvation is a fallacy because there is no salvation in our works. We cannot earn our way into heaven. There's no amount of work that we can do to save us. We're saved by grace through faith. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so in response to these false teachers who taught this false gospel, Paul lists out his accolades as an exceptional Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe that the first king of Israel, Saul, came from. Right? Paul had the right lineage. He had the right pedigree. A Hebrew of Hebrews, he said. And not only that, he was a Pharisee. In human standards, right, in man's eyes, Paul stood blameless. Paul had so much to boast about in his works, in his flesh. He was a better Jew than the rest. And yet, he said that it counts for nothing. None of that matters. Nothing that he gained in his flesh matters. He said that he had suffered the loss of everything to gain Christ. And so from our perspective, it seems like Paul had figured it out. Right? Jesus supernaturally met him on that road to Damascus. In Galatians 1:12, Paul says that Jesus himself revealed the gospel to him. How amazing is that? Paul loved God. We know Paul loved people. He had an eternal perspective. He arguably had the best handle on theology. Right? He wrote so much of the New Testament. If anyone could claim to have ever attained everything to attain in Christianity, it would have been Paul, right? Paul was probably the greatest. Yet, he said that he had not arrived, that he still had a ways to go. He said that he wasn't perfected yet. Right? He wasn't a finished product yet. He wasn't completed yet. God was still continuing the good work that he had started in Paul. He was still being sanctified. He was still in the process of being transformed into the image of Christ from glory to glory. And knowing this kept Paul humble. It helped Paul rely on God instead of himself. As a Christian, it's important to remember that we will not be perfect as long as we are on this side of eternity. As long as we are in this fallen state, we will continue to sin. No matter how good we think we're doing, we're still prone to sin, whether we admit it or not. Right, God's work in us will not be completed while we still have breath in our lungs. Whether you've been a Christian for decades, maybe you're a Bible teacher somewhere, a pastor of a church, you're still a sinner. We're all still in need of God's grace. We still need God's forgiveness, right? We still need to confess our sins to the Lord. May we not be deceived and believe that we have arrived, that we've been perfected. Now, that's a scary place to be when someone actually believes that they're the finished product, right? That they've been perfected. I believe that's pride, and we need to guard our hearts from that kind of thinking. Because if we start believing that we're completed, that we've been made perfect, then what happens? We stop pursuing the Lord. Right? It's like, why study for a test if you think you already have 100 on it? Who needs to pursue God when God's work in you is already done? Why do you need God if you're already perfect? And so I want to ask you to be honest with yourself as you consider the following questions that I'm about to ask. Have you in any way thought or felt as though you've made it? That you've done enough as a Christian? There's not really a need to grow much more? Or you know the key verses. You have a pretty good handle. You have decent theology. You're nice to most people. Have you been complacent in your faith? That there hasn't been much spiritual progress in your life in these last couple of years? If you feel the Spirit stirring in your heart right now, I want to encourage you to confess that to the Lord. As long as your heart is beating, the Lord is not done with you. There's no limit to the heights that God can call you to. So surrender yourself to the Lord. Look to Him. Confess that you've not already attained, that you're not already perfected. And I pray that God would spiritually refresh you, to give you a renewed desire for Him. You see, Paul would not have pressed on had he thought that he had already made it. Right? Paul said, I press on. To press on means to pursue eagerly, right? To go after it with tenacity, to reach a goal or to acquire something. The athletes at the Olympics have pressed on their whole lives to get to the world stage. And this summer, they will press on to try to reach the goal of winning the gold medal. Paul had a goal, right? He had Christ in his sights, and he ran hard after Jesus, and he kept running, right? It was continuous. It was ongoing. You see, while it's true that our salvation is secure when we believe, it doesn't mean our story ends there. God did all the work to save us, but we still have a responsibility to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We still have a responsibility to look to Jesus and to run after Him with urgency. Paul pressed on. He said, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Jesus had laid hold of Paul. Right? Jesus had made Paul His own. Jesus had took hold of Paul on that road to Damascus. Right? Paul was bought with a price. He was not his own. Paul belonged to Jesus. And Jesus had a plan for Paul. Obviously, right? Jesus didn't grab Paul for no reason. As Jesus laid hold of Paul for a purpose, Paul desired to fulfill that purpose by pressing on and living for Christ. This should be our desire. This should be our attitude, right? The attitude that we should have in our daily walk. If you are a follower of Christ today, there was a point in your life when the Lord took hold of you. And your life changed at that moment. You were renewed. You were given a new life, right? You were born again. You've been redeemed. You've been ransomed so that you might live for the Lord and glorify Him. So press on. Right, Philippians 13, Paul says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Right, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So again, Paul didn't think that he had arrived. Right? He reiterates his inadequacy, how there was still a race to run. The goal was still ahead of him. And so what did he do? He didn't sit around hoping that the prize would just be brought to him on a silver platter. Right? He didn't just casually and comfortably walk toward the goal, hoping to win the prize. The first thing he did was forget what was behind him. He didn't look back at his past. He didn't look back at his old ways. He didn't get distracted by those things. Many of you know this, right? Paul had a shameful past. Paul had a regretful past. He persecuted Christians, right? He was feared by all Christians because he ravaged the church. He was a self-righteous, ravenous wolf that wanted to stop the spread of Christianity, right? To flatten the curve of that spread. He was an enemy of God, an enemy of all who loved Jesus. But like we just read, right? The Lord laid hold of him. His sins were completely forgiven. They were nailed to the cross. Paul was made a new creation, and there was no need to look back. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Right? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. His old self was crucified with Christ. Right? He had died to sin. And he said, "The life I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith." His focus was on the present, on what he can do now to live by faith. Right? He forgot what was behind. He forgot the past. You know, looking back can serve to be a distraction because it can cause you to take your eyes off of Jesus. You know, and I think a couple of different ways. One, you don't want to look back longingly at the worldly lifestyle that you used to live. Right, I think that's Lot's wife. In Genesis 19, we find two angels who came to Lot, who's Abraham's nephew. Lot lived in a city named Sodom with his family. Now, Sodom was known for its great sin, its debauchery. And the Lord sent two angels to destroy Sodom for its sins. But the angels first came to Lot to spare him and his family. So the angels, they brought Lot's family out of the city and they said, "Hey, escape for your life. Do not look behind, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Right? Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And so once Lot and his family were at a safe distance, the Lord rained down sulfur and fire from heaven and utterly destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, unfortunately, Lot's wife didn't listen to the angels. Right? You might know the story. She looked back, and the Bible says that she was turned into a pillar of salt. Kind of a mysterious portion of Scripture. And Genesis 19 doesn't tell us exactly why Lot's wife looked back, but I personally don't think it's too far off to say that she was sad about what she had to leave behind in Sodom. Right? When Jesus talked about the end times in Luke 17, he said, "Remember Lot's wife." He said, "Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it." Lot's wife had a chance for a new life in a new place, but she wanted to preserve her old way of life. Or she longingly looked back at the corrupt city that she called home. Maybe she wasn't ready to leave everything behind. Maybe she wanted to remain there in Sodom, remain there in the past. But if she would have stayed, she would have been utterly destroyed. And that's the same for us too, right? If we would have stayed in our past, in our old ways, and continued on, we would have also been destroyed. We've been saved from destruction by God's grace. So we have no business looking back, wanting to go back to our old self, our old ways. We have no business looking back, longing to be slaves to sin again. Another way that looking back can serve as a distraction in your faith, we already kind of talked about. It's when you look back at your past with remorse and guilt and shame, and we let Satan speak lies to our identity. How can God love you when you did that? Right? Yeah, God forgives most sins, but yours, you've been so shameful. Satan wants us to forget about our identity in Jesus. He wants us to forget that we are loved by God, that there's no sin too great for God to forgive. He wants us to forget that God has a great plan for each one of us, no matter our past. Right, the enemy wants to condemn us in our sins. He wants to discourage us in our faith. So there's this temptation, right, to look back and to remember our shameful past with a heavy heart. But when we do that, we're essentially not trusting in God's grace. When we continue to look back and let our past sins weigh us down, we're not trusting that Jesus nailed even the heaviest of sins to the cross. Calvary Okinawa, no matter what is in your past, the Bible promises that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Right, you've been learning about that in recent months, right? As you study through 1 John. What does Pastor Rick call it? The spiritual soap or something like that? I've been listening, Pastor Rick. When we confess our sins to God, the stain of sin washes off. The mark of sin is gone. We've been forgiven. And so we don't need to live in our past sins. So instead of focusing on the past, what does Paul do? He reached forward to the things that were ahead. Right? He said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Again, this idea of pushing forward, running after toward a goal to win a prize. Paul liked using sports metaphors. And he would liken our walk of faith to a competitive sport like running or fighting. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27, he said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we, an imperishable crown." He said, "Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul lived the Christian life as if he was trying to win the Olympic gold. Right? And when I ask myself, do I live the Christian life as if I'm trying to win the Olympic gold? I'll be honest, I feel convicted. Right? Think about the discipline and the determination that the Olympic athletes display to win that prize. And that prize is a prize that fades away. The Olympic medals will last a little longer than the wreaths that they handed out, you know, back in Paul's day. But we're still talking about something that's perishable and, quite frankly, not that valuable. The Olympic gold today is actually made up mostly of silver, and it's only plated with 6 grams of gold. Right, the medal value of the 2020 Olympic gold, can you guess, was only $800 at the time. How much more should we discipline ourselves in the Lord if we're running for a prize that is so much more valuable, that is enduring? How hard should we press on when we are running after an imperishable crown? Right? We should be striving toward Jesus with everything that we've got because he is worthy. He's worth everything. He's worthy of our energy, every effort that we put into glorifying him in our lives. Paul said that he didn't run with uncertainty, which means he was focused. Right, he knew where he was going. He didn't box as one beating the air, which means he was in the fight. There was intention behind the punches that he threw. Paul was disciplined. Right, he pressed on. No matter the circumstance, no matter the struggles and the hardships that he faced, no matter the punches that he took, Paul did not lose sight of the goal. The goal is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. It's our heavenly calling by our Father in heaven. And this calling is in his Son, Jesus. And what a worthy prize for us to fight for and run after. How hard are you running for Jesus today? Can you honestly say that you are running after Jesus as if you're in a race that you might receive the prize? Or are you idly standing by on the sidelines, watching as others pass by? Calvary Okinawa, we need to be in the running to be champions, not just bystanders, cheering for the other runners to press on. We don't want to just be the guys that's doing this with the water cups. Get in the race. So consider your faith as it stands today. If you're running as if to win the race, that's awesome. That blesses me. Keep pressing on. Right? You're not perfected yet. You're not there yet, so just keep going. And there will be a time when he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. But that time is not yet. So keep pressing on. And maybe you're here and you just feel exhausted. Like you don't have the energy to continue on. Maybe you've been through storm after storm in recent seasons. You've been running in the valley for a long time, and it seems like there's no getting out. You look up and the mountain's just too high. Maybe you feel like you just want to stop and just give up. Do not stop. Don't set up your camp in the valley. Right? Keep running after God. Even if you can only take one step at a time in this season, that's okay. Right, just keep moving forward and press on. Remember, God loves you and God is with you. Right, he sees you. Your pain and your hurt and your suffering, it's not lost on him. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippian church, he was imprisoned. Right? He was going through his own season of struggle, his own season of the storm. Throughout his life, Paul struggled and suffered for the sake of Jesus. But he remembered that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. He remembered that nothing can separate him from the love of God. And he knew that he was never alone, that Jesus would never leave him nor forsake him. Right? Paul kept going. And so I want to encourage you, if you're in a difficult season, continue taking those steps of faith toward the Lord. Don't stop. Press on. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right? That is our hope, church family. 1 Peter 5:10, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. Or maybe you're here today and you feel like you've just been kind of lagging behind, more speed walking after Christ instead of running. Well, I want to encourage you to pick up the pace. All right, get in the race. Be disciplined in your spiritual training. Right? Be in the Word daily. Pray to the Lord. Pursue holiness. Be intentional in your relationships. Seek to honor those who are around you. Seek to honor those that God has brought into your life. Right? Love God with everything that you've got, with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know all these things. And there will be times when you might mess up. Right? There will be times when maybe you start slowing down again, or maybe you stumble. But when that happens, just keep your eyes on Jesus. Confess your sins to him. Confess your need for him. And then get back up. Start running again. Don't stop. You got to press on. And always remember, like, you're not doing these things to earn salvation. You're not reaching forward. You're not pressing on to get into heaven. Right? If you believe in Jesus, if you've repented of your past, then you have already been saved. Right? Jesus saved you through his work on the cross. And so because Jesus gave up his life for us, then we should be willing to give up our lives for him. God's love for us should draw us, cause us to desire to honor him and run after him. And so we want to press toward the goal. And that's exactly what Paul did, right? He gave up everything for Christ. Whatever gain he had, he counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You see, to Paul, Jesus was worth losing everything for. So Paul pressed on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And toward the end of his life, when he knew that his time on earth was coming to a close, he wrote Timothy, his protege. 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I really hope we can all say that when we get there, guys. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. That is our hope. Paul never lost sight of the goal. Right? He stayed disciplined. He stayed determined. And he finished the race. He kept the faith. And for his faith, the crown of righteousness, an imperishable crown, was waiting for him in heaven. And as we keep our faith in Christ, as we continue in our love for God, we will receive an imperishable crown as well. Calvary Okinawa, we are all in this fight. We are all in this race. So we need to look to Jesus and press on toward the goal. Don't look back. Don't fall away. Don't stop. Keep running after Jesus so that on that day when we enter into eternity, the Lord might tell us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." May we faithfully run after God with endurance, church family, that in the end we can honestly say, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." So press on. Amen. I'm going to pray, and while I pray, I'll probably have the worship team come up and lead us in a closing song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for your love for us, that you care so deeply about each one of us here today. Father, I pray that you would strengthen those who are going through a difficult season in life, that they would look to you, that they would trust that you see them, that you would strengthen them and guide them through the storm, Lord. That they would cling to you, Jesus. Father, help us to press on, no matter the circumstance. Help us to follow Paul's model, Lord, the example that he left us while he was still struggling and suffering. Lord, he had joy because he had you, and he pressed on because he had you in his sights. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to do the same, to run as if to win this race. Pray that you would help us, Lord. We confess our need for you. We know that we cannot do this in our own strength. We know that we cannot do it on our own. So we just pray that you would be the one to strengthen us, to continue to push us forward, to press on. We love you, Lord. We praise you, for you are good. Pray that you bless each person here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.